May 1st means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Of course, it's a holiday today, Labor Day. The irony being that many, many people who are laborers don't get paid today because no work, no pay. But those with regular jobs get a paid holiday. Good for them. This is one of the days when the secular calendar and the church calendar actually correspond fairly well. The church actually deliberately chose this to make May 1st, Labor Day, also the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, patron saint of workers, St. Joseph the Carpenter. Today is also the beginning of the month of May, and that's a month dedicated to Our Lady. I don't know what has happened to the Flores de Mayo tradition now that it's a school, still school is in session, but used to be this was summer vacation and Flores de Mayo every day. So maybe the schools will pick up on that. And it's also the anniversary of some of the couples who are here. So happy anniversary to all the married couples. It's a day to reflect on labor, on work, on God's idea about work, not just the secular society's idea about work. And even though we're reflecting on the same thing, it's very different if we're looking at labor from the perspective of a secular society or from the perspective of God, who is himself a worker. I'm a little bit out of touch with what's going on in the society. Are there big rallies among the leftists today? Usually on Labor Day, there's big rallies, or maybe not big, but at least they put themselves in a prominent place to rally for the rights of workers and for the end of exploitation of workers, and that's right. Except that their vision is very often revolutionary or highly socialistic, and they think it would be better for workers to break down a lot of other social structures. And we know from the history of the last 100 years that that doesn't work. That ends up being worse, including for the workers. But anyway, in the media, there will be some kind of leftist groups or communist groups clamoring for the rights of workers. And they do have a point. And we have to admit, workers do get exploited. And they do get taken advantage of. They're underpaid, overworked, and that's true. Well, even the people in the rallies, Kawawa Sila, it's a very, very hot day, so if they're going to be rallying in front of Malacañang or in front of the embassy, they're going to really be suffering for their cause today. When we think about labor, we tend to think about the way work is understood in the modern social economic structure. So wages and unions and rights and this conflict between management and labor and this sort of thing. But that's a relatively new thing. You know, it really came into being, this kind of modern understanding of labor as one of the economic factors. It came into being mostly with the Industrial Revolution. Before that, most people, almost everybody, was either a farmer, a fisherman, a shepherd. That was almost everybody. Then there's a small merchant class in every culture. And then there's a small group of craftsmen. So the tailors and the stonemasons and the blacksmiths and metal workers and carpenters. So Joseph fits into that category of the craftsman, which is not the lowest. I mean, Joseph wasn't in the lowest class of people. He wasn't the poorest of the poor. Remember, in biblical times, the poorest people were the widows, aliens, slaves, and not much better than them, the shepherds. And so people who did hard manual labor. So it's maybe a little surprising that Jesus gets put down in today's gospel as the son of a carpenter, as if that's a bad thing. On the scale of all the different professions, it wasn't that bad a thing to be son of a carpenter. But if you're looking for an expert in the law or a religious leader, son of a carpenter just doesn't qualify. He's a nobody by comparison to the Pharisees or the rabbis or the landowners or the educated people. He's just a carpenter. So now we can see why he's judged this way, because he's teaching in the synagogue. Now, if he were just doing carpentry work, nobody would say he's just a carpenter. They would say he's doing what he's supposed to do. But since he's in the synagogue teaching the people with great effect, with great wisdom, and he's performing mighty deeds, well, now they say this guy is out of place. He's just the son of a carpenter. He should only do the work of a carpenter. He should stay in his place. So that's what happens in this gospel. But reflecting on work, if we can think about it more broadly, we see that work is more than simply the particular profession or the particular means by which we support our families. That's part of it. But there's a lot more to human work than the categories that we place ourselves in. There's a certain, E1 and F2 and G6 and all these, they have all these categories for how much money you're going to make. Well, that's a very, very narrow way of understanding labor. Just yesterday we had a World Day of Prayer for Vocations, and we prayed for more laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. Laborers. And we were thinking about clergy, religious, missionaries. So according to that way of thinking, I'm a laborer, and so are all of you. We are laborers for the kingdom of God. We're praying for more laborers. Thinking about this brought back to mind some experiences I've had recently. A few months ago, I was receiving all these ads in the email for the credit card of the airline that I usually travel on. So I don't know if I told this story, but they kept on, the computers think that I'm a frequent flyer, so therefore I should get the credit card. And I never applied for it before because I don't have any income. So I said, well, now I inherited a little money from my parents. I have money in the bank. So I said, well, maybe I'll qualify now. So I applied for the credit card. Of course, the first thing they ask is, who's your employer? That's always a hard question for me to answer. Who's my employer? The Lord. It's not one of the categories on the form. So I say, well, what am I supposed to put? The church? The diocese? I usually put Anawim Community. So I put Anawim Community, my employer. Then they say, salary. And they have categories. $10,000 to $50,000. $50,000 to $80,000, $80,000 to $100,000, $100,000 and above. Categories are ridiculous. I don't make anything. I don't have any income. So I had to put on there, I didn't put zero, maybe I put whatever, something, because I get stipends, of course. But I'm supported by the community, by the church. So I submitted the application, and of course I was rejected. So I said, oh, I don't qualify. I must not be a worker. Then on Friday, I celebrated my anniversary as a priest, and some people wanted to offer me gifts, and they wanted to send me money by GCash. I don't have a GCash account, so the staff in the office said, well, why don't you get a GCash account, make it easier for everybody. So I said, okay. So I turned on download the GCash app, and one of the first questions is, what's your source of income? Although GCash is better, because they didn't put categories and amounts, they just said, what's the source? And one of the options is stipends and honoraria. So, and another one of is inheritance. So at least they weren't limiting their customers to people who make a lot of money. They don't care if you make a lot of money, they just want to make sure you have money, because that's their business. Okay, so, but the point is, see, in the world, the question is, what's your job? And how much do you make? That's how you are defined as a person. What's your job and how much do you make? Well, if your job doesn't make much money, well, then you're not very important. So laborers in the kingdom, most of you who are here, a lot of you are retired. Maybe you serve the church. Maybe you are serving your families for the most part, raising your children and grandchildren, or keeping your homes, well, then you're not very important because you don't make very much money. Maybe you don't have a job. That's the wrong way of thinking about it. I'm sure you know that's where I'm going here. That's the wrong way of thinking about labor. It's the wrong way of thinking about St. Joseph. It's the wrong way of thinking about the human person. It's even a wrong way of thinking about God, because God himself is a laborer. He worked 6 days in creation, then he rested. That's a way of teaching us that we are to work 6 days and rest. We are not slaves of our labor. We are servants of God. We follow God. What is the work of God? Creation, redemption, and sanctification. Creation, the work that we celebrate in the first 6 days. Redemption, the work of Jesus Christ, especially on the cross, by his death and resurrection. Sanctification, we usually attribute to the Holy Spirit. What's a work of the Holy Spirit? Making people holy. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit don't get any money for that. They don't get paid. But it's the work of creation, redemption, and sanctification that is the basis for everything. In our lives, most of our work has to do with our families. We have married couples here celebrating their anniversaries. Every married couple, especially if you've been married 25 years or 50 years, you know that marriage is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a difficult work. And you don't get paid for it. But it's a very highly, it's an invaluable work, and it's a participation in the work of God, creation, redemption, and sanctification. Through marriage, we have new children. That's a kind of creation. Redemption, by our sacrifice, we make one another holy, married couples. Sanctification, redemption, sanctification, by our sacrifice and by our service, we bring into the world and sustain holy families. Now, Joseph is a model not only as a worker, but as a husband and a father. His work was to be a good husband to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to be a good father to Jesus Christ. That was his work. Yes, he was a carpenter, a craftsman, but that was not his identity before God or in his family. He was a servant of God, a faithful Jew. He was a good husband, dedicated to the care of his wife, and he was a good father. See the different understanding of labor. So if our labor is to care for our spouse and our children and our grandchildren, and we don't get any money for it, do not let yourself get put down on that account. Recognize the great dignity of working for the kingdom and of working for the people of God, working for the poor, working for those who are in your own house. The world will not give you any honor for that, but God does. When we die and are judged, we're not judged based on what our job was or how much money we made. God doesn't even ask that. It's not that he doesn't care, because he does want us to use our gifts, and he wants us to make the world a better place, and he wants us to be good stewards of what we have, yes. But it's not about what our job is and how much money we make or made. It's more, what have we received? And what have we done with what we received? If we had 10 talents, did we make 10 more? If we had 5, did we make 5 more? If we had 1, did we at least get 1 more? Or did we, in fear or in selfishness, misuse or neglect what we've been given? We haven't served or benefited anybody else. Here in this gospel, it says Jesus did not work many mighty deeds there. Now, Jesus is a worker. He's working out the whole work of our redemption, but he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. Faith, too, is a kind of work. It's not easy to live by faith. We have to work at it. We have to develop that gift. And when we do, then God can do the work he wants to do in us and through us. Much more important than whatever we might do in our business or in the office or wherever. The work of faith, the work of hope, the work of love. St. Joseph is a model for us in all these ways. So we ask his intercession, we celebrate Labor Day, as we celebrate St. Joseph the Worker. We ask St. Joseph to intercede for us and to teach us to treasure the work God has given to us and show us how to be good laborers in the vineyard of the Lord.